you allow me just to add to what you said? Because the question you might be challenged, as you have heard, that a week in Daniel is 7 years. Well, is he making that stuff up? Did you just accept that he said it's a week is 7 years, and you all said good? Well, can somebody show me where said that a week is 7 years? We need to have that kind of searching the scripture. The brother is right 100%. He's not making stuff up. The scripture said that, and I think if you were listening to him, he mentioned the year of Jubilee. But I think in Leviticus 25, I think it's verse 8 in there, you have a clear verse that indicates to us that the week is 7 years. Again, as we have heard, it's important to know these things because there are questions out there and people will challenge you and say, well, but I heard the brother said it in a Bible study. Well, you don't have the brother sitting next to you now to show you where these verses. So it's good to know. I think it is in Leviticus 25 around verse 8 or so. You have a clear definition that the week is 7 years.
Also, when Jacob was to serve, was it Laban? He said, let me serve another week. And you look at the history of the man, it's 7 years. So the week has its own internal interpretation. A week is 7 years in prophetic scripture. Another example of the same.
Just a little thought back to the first comment that Amo made in connection with the mind of God. It's interesting to me in Daniel 9, in verse 21, where Daniel says, The time that he received this vision, he said, the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. I think that's very significant to us, remembering that Daniel was in a foreign country. He didn't have the temple there, but this was the time of the perpetual evening, the perpetual burnt offering. Daniel still had in his heart and in his mind God's interest. And I think that's very significant for us, that we study prophecy not for the sake of where do we fit in and what do we do and you know, how does this apply to us and how does it apply to Israel, but we really see it with God's interest at hand. Because Daniel had God's interest in his heart and in his mind, God was able to entrust him with something else. That is a very key principle in our Christian life. And we can take that in any area of our Christian life, but here in the context, it's here, and I think it's very important for us to see.
The oblation speaks of sacrifice. And all the sacrifices of the Old Testament speak of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And so once again, the focal point of any prophecy is the person of the Lord Jesus.
I would mention too that it's interesting in this chapter that what Daniel's really exercised about, besides owning the failure and the sin of his people, and he's really interested in, is there any hope for my people? Mm. Is there any hope? You know, because look at the condition they were in. Jerusalem had been leveled. Mm. Everything had been destroyed. Everything of what many would have thought would have been their future was gone. Mm. And really, all their future did not rest on that land. It rested in God. Jehovah Elohim, who had made the promises to them, was what everything hinged upon. It was not them, nor the land, nor the temple. The temple was gone. And so it's interesting that Daniel's really concerned. And through his searching of the Word and the prophetic scriptures of Jeremiah, he has understood that God promised that they would be in captivity for 70 years. And this is very beautiful because Daniel's a man who believes God's Word. And we were talking about that earlier, you know, how important it is to read it, as our brother said, to believe it. To believe that what God promises is true. Daniel is believing God's promise here. That my people have a future. We have a future in the Messiah. It's not all over. This isn't it. Babylon is not it. But he believes this, and it's wonderful. As he's a man who's laying hold on the promises of God that are revealed to him, then God gives him this grand expanse of his people. It's not just that you're going to go back in 70 years or in a few years from where Daniel was praying here. Daniel, your people have a grand future in the Messiah. It's a wonderful prospect. And yet, it's interesting that Daniel has many sorrows as a result of these things. Because he not only sees there's a future, but he also sees many troubles many troubles. And I think that week that was mentioned, that missing week, is right in verse 27. Mm-hmm. It's mentioned very definitely right in verse 27 that mm-hmm. he, this is the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Here it is. There's the final week. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we see that God is giving Daniel a scope that is far beyond what he had asked for. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing scope he's given to know that Israel has a future. Mm-hmm. And isn't that what we talked about the rapture before? We have a future. A wonderful future in the Father's house. And then we'll enjoy, we didn't talk about it, in Revelation 21, we're going to be in that city. How magnificent, that glorious scene where we'll, and it's connected with the millennium. We look forward to that day as well. We love his appearing. And that, I think this connects, Mark and I were talking about that. But the hope of Israel is what's before Daniel.
His proximal lesson. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the prospect before his heart. And this is what the people of God need. You know, our hearts, God knows that our hearts need a prospect. We need a future. We need a hope, something to grasp onto. We have a hope, the bright and morning star. But for Israel, the root and offspring of David, the Lord Jesus, and the promises of God connected with that kingdom, they believe, if they're, and they will, they had, and they will believe those promises. And so may the Lord encourage us to know that God's a God of promise and faith.
The practical encouragement for young people and young men here. You know, we sing the song, Dare to be a Daniel, Dare to Stand Alone. I would like to congratulate some of these young fellows. You know, they could have gone to the children's meeting, but they want to stay here where the Word of God has opened up. So that's good. But dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. And these are difficult truths, but they're to be grasped. And the Spirit of God can open them up to a young man. And here we see Daniel. And, you know, how do you know the truth of God? A great preacher was once asked, how do you see these things? A man, by the way, who was used of God to reach thousands, literally, with the gospel. In the last century, in the 1900s. And someone came into his... he was having tent meetings. He said, where do you get these things from? He didn't have an education. Mm-hmm. He was a man who didn't go to a seminary. Mm-hmm. Didn't go to a Bible college or even a Bible institute. And I'm not knocking those things necessarily, but I'm saying he learned these things. He said, I learned them on my knees. Yeah. John 7:17... if any man will to do his will, he will know the doctrine, whether it is that I speak of myself or not. And so, if any man wills to do the will of God, he will know the doctrine. And Daniel was one who was willing to know the will of God, and God revealed it to him. And so young men can learn. And you know, there's a vast difference between seminary study and theological study and study on your knees before God. He can reveal these things to us, as he did to Daniel.